The topic is Worldwide Missions, KMI 2008 Workshop, Roy Robertson. I first met the Navigators December 6, 1941, at Pearl Harbor. I'd heard about a group called the Navigators, and I went into a Bible class. And the guy leading it, he's an officer with the ship, and I didn't know who he was. But later I found out that it was Jim Downing. Jim Downing had everybody in a circle, and okay, quote a verse of scripture. So it went around to me, and I got a little, never mind, I know for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So they went around the circle, the guy next to me stole my verse. So here I was, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. That's a verse, Genesis 1-1. But I knew I faked it. The next morning, Pearl Harbor attack, and our particular ship was sort of the size of a destroyer. The Pearl Harbor attack came, and I was a loader on anti-aircraft guns. We had four of them on the boat deck. And we went to get a shell. They're all dummy ammunition. First 35 minutes of the attack, you know, throw bananas or shake your fist, with no live ammunition during the attack. After the attack, we were completely devastated. As you know, every capital ship couldn't float, and we were the biggest ship left afloat that could still go, just a small destroyer size. And that afternoon, I knelt by the gun when everything was quiet down. And I saw this sort of an allegory of my life. Japan attacks, we have nothing to fight with. The word of God is not in my heart. When Satan attacks, I have nothing to fight back with. So that afternoon, I knelt by the gun about 3 o'clock. Said, God, I want to master this book. I dedicate my life. I want to know it and do what I can. And so God changed my life and memorized a verse a day. Nearly all the time I was in the surface. A verse a day, memorizing the scripture to come and flow into my heart and life, and it's a wonderful privilege. I met Dawson Troutman in 1943, Bible class. There were three leaders, about 125 people, the Bible class. So he came down, and I was elected to be host to Dawson. So I met him on the train, and I booked him in a hotel. I put myself in the same room. I didn't know we weren't supposed to do that. And so I had 4 days, day and night, intensely with Doss. He really changed my life. He said, Roy, everything's over, you come out and throw in your lot with us. You come to my home. So in 1945, December, I went and knocked on the door. The headquarters then was in South Pasadena. And I lived in Dawson's home for about 2 years or so. Then he sent me to Texas, and I was there for 2 years. I guess I opened up the first navigator work between the East Coast and West Coast, Dallas, Texas, SMU, and worked with my dad. Then I got a long-distance phone call from Dawson. Hey, Roy, I want you. Leave everything right away, quick as you can. The communists are about to take all of China. And a lot of people come to Christ. You rush to China as soon as you can. Get to Shanghai before the communists do. So leave everything at once. So over the telephone, about 5 minutes, I said, okay. All right, sure, okay. That's what I'm supposed to do. So I went out to Los Angeles, leaving Dallas. I was working for my dad. He sold automobiles, and I was taking business. And so Dad come back, and I said, Dad, you know, I tried to make it big. I've been elected for an international organization to represent them in China. And scratch his head. All right, son, if you want to throw your life away in China, go ahead. I won't stop you. So with Dad's blessing. And my mother's, she came down. She's a society woman, antiques in our place and garden club and all like that, country club life. Sit down, Mother. God calls you to China. Woo! Woo, she jumped way up in the air like this, settled down. And I went and checked out in 4 days. I left school, left home, left Dallas, left Navigators, turned it over to my Timothy, and I was on my way out. I came to Dawson's home, and there was a sort of a sanctuary room where none of the staff ever went. Doss had 4 very healthy children, had 1 sort of mongoloid, 12 years old, still in diapers, not like that. So we never went there, but Doss took me into the bedroom, and Chucky on the bed and diapers there, Lila's there, Doss there. And so began to pray for me and give me a verse of scripture. So as he prayed, he said, Lord, lay on the heart of this young man what's on your heart. And I think, wow, that's a strange prayer. Lay on your heart what's on your heart. And then after a moment said, the world. Lay on the heart of this young man a vision for the world. He's referring to a passage from 1 Kings 6:17-18, where Elisha was surrounded by the enemy, Syrian army, and he had his servant there. They said, oh, alas, we're surrounded by the enemy. They've come to take us. The king Ahaz had come to capture you. And then Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. That was Elisha. So he really can see spiritual things and know what the battle is and what is going on. And so the servant's eyes were open, and he saw a chariot of fire round about Elisha, all the armies there they could not get through, a chariot of fire round about them. They saw what was going on. They saw there's an eternal conflict between God and Satan over the souls of all the people of the earth. And so in the conflict, we are sent forth to share the gospel, to represent Jesus Christ, and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so God gave me a promise, some verses I'll go over later. But open his eyes, see what's on your heart, the world. The world. God so loved the world. The world. All missions, historical missions of any note, have begun with prayer. They've begun with prayer and began with praying for the world. Every historical mission, including the great haystack revival of modern missions going out and everything that's happened really of significance, begins with prayer. Everything that really is important begins with prayer. And so you begin with prayer. If you turn to your sheet, we have Carey down here, 1761, born 1834. 1792 was when he sent forth the missionaries. And William Carey had a map of the world in leather. His job was leather working. He was a shoemaker. And so he had a map of the world and had the population and the people. And so he prayed for the people in the earth. And he said, God sent on his heart, Lord, let's send somebody. At that time, it wasn't very popular. They met with a group of pastors. They said, oh, we don't have to do that. God does it. He wants to convert the heathen. He'll do so. But he said, no, we must use means. We must send people. That's a pattern of God. Send people. There's Hindus. And not a single one of them know the Lord Jesus Christ. 1792. Said, sing, O barren, ye that did not bear. Break forth with singing and cry aloud. Ye that have not travailed with child. Greater are the children of the desolate than of the married wife, saith the Lord. And thou shalt enlarge the place of thy tent, stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords, shrinken the stakes. Thou shalt break forth on the left hand, the right hand. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. This was a verse, the passage, Isaiah 54:1-3. that's led to the modern missionary movement. Englishman, map of the world, leather, praying over the countries, and then God said, we'll send you, and you will go, and you will have a promise. His promise, go forth, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. So William Carey began the what's called the modern missionary movement. Hudson Taylor, the missionary from the China Inland Mission, he went to China 7 years, came home broken in health, and looked like he'd never get back to China again. But he had a vision. He looked at a map, and although missionaries had gone to the coast, there were 12 provinces that were in the middle of China. 300 million people at that time. China today is the largest country in the world, 1.3 billion. But that time, 300 million people. In the heart of China, there were 12 provinces, not a single witness. And Hudson Taylor looked at the scriptures of promise. We say in Luke, God sent out disciples two by two where there was no gospel witness. He said, Lord, give me two. Give me two people for every province. And so he prayed, God, 2 times 12 is 24. Give me 24 people at that time, male or female. They didn't differentiate. Give me 24 people, two per province, that will go to China as witnesses. And God gave them. There were actually 27 people that went forth on a ship called the Lammermoor in 1861, the height of a war, the Taiping Rebellion in China. And Hudson Taylor arrived at that time with these people, and they began to witness and establish for Jesus Christ. And later on, they founded the China Inland Mission. And the year that I got to China, China Inland Mission had 51 new missionaries. And one of them was very, very talented, very, very beautiful, could sing and pray, and was a nurse. And I got sick, and she waited on me. And I proposed to her, and she later became my wife and mother of my three children, as we worked in Taiwan and China and Japan and other places. And God sent forth this great movement in China. Then Dawson Trotman, I look upon him as one of the great missionary leaders of the world. He established a movement of time. I've written a book called The Timothy Principle. I don't have a copy of it. Anybody got a copy of that? Good. That's it. This is a book on modern missionary history from 1945 after World War II for the next 15 years, sprung by the navigators or servicemen. The largest missionary movement in the history of the world since the time of Paul. Most of them were servicemen. American servicemen came back from the war, and they rallied the flag, and Dawson Trotman met with five men met together for prayer, and they prayed for the world and prayed for people to come to the world. They're combined with Youth for Christ, a combination Billy Graham, Youth for Christ, David Morkin, the head of Youth for Christ, Bob Pierce became the head later of World Vision. And these five men went forth, and I was sent out in 1948 to do the work of evangelism to help people that come for Christ. Dawson Trotman, he decided that he would pray. He's in Los Angeles. And so he'd pray. He started with praying for another guy named Walt. He got up early about 4 o'clock in the morning. He rode a motorcycle and went out in the foothills. And so they met, began began by praying just for themselves, their own need and all like that. Then they began to pray for Los Angeles and for California, then for other states, then for another state. They prayed for every state in the union and prayed, Lord, let my influence stretch to every state in the United States. Then they got a world map. At that time, there were about 200 countries. They put their finger on day after day. They prayed for every single country of the world, that God would send forth laborers to every single country of the world. That was the beginning. The biggest missionary movement, the greatest that ever come, when General MacArthur at World War II stood up and announced to the world, send us 10,000 missionaries and we'll change the world. And what most people don't know, because the media is not very pro-mission at all. The media is always negative towards media and all. But God did send 10,000 new missionaries, the greatest thrust ever in history, just to Asia, between 1945 and 1958, when Dawson died, between that period of time. 4,000 alone came to Japan, and 145 new missionary societies came to Japan, and God began a great movement, and there were crusades, and the gospel preached to the whole world. One of the people they influenced was Madam Chiang Kai-shek, the wife of Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek. And she became an ardent prayer warrior, praying not only for Taiwan to be saved, but for the world and for missions. And she got down with her silk robes and knelt on the floor. And other women kneeled down on their Chinese robes and on their dresses, and they would pray and ask God to come and bless. Dick Hillis was the one, and Dave Morkin and Bob Pierce, very close to this first family. And when they had to flee, 1.5 million people fled from China to Taiwan, 600,000 troops. And so when these leaders, Bob Pierce and Dick Hillis, said, what do you need? The greatest need is spiritual help. So, okay, I'll give a Gospel of John. And so 500,000 Gospels of John were given and given out and began to distribute to every single soldier in the army at that time and all about. And God began a movement to save people there with Christ. The basketball teams called Venture for Victory. And they played the national teams, Christian teams that play national teams, and huge numbers of people come, and the gospel flowing to the whole earth. Dawson, call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou know not. And this is a third movement, the wave that really came around the world. Call unto me, I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, what we want to do, we want to pray. So, be ye not just hearers of the word, but doers. We want to pray. Begin in world vision. Begin with praying for the world. So if God's going to touch our heart, good place to begin. Like William Carey did, and praying for the map, and God... leather map of the world, like Hudson Taylor, and praying for inland China in places, like Dawson Trotman, praying for the whole world, that God would take it and God would bless us. So what we're going to try to do, we're going to pray first. I talk a lot and I can fill my time, no problem whatsoever. But then we're going to pray at the end, and there's never enough time at the end. So I just started, we reverse it. We're going to pray first. And as you look here, my son has prepared a list of all the countries of the world. And I said, arrange it so we can pray for all the countries of the world in 40 days. That's what Dawson prayed for 40 days and began the movement. Not only the navigators, a worldwide movement. Moses, 40 years of trial, temptation, all like that. 40, the time of testing. So what I want to strongly suggest to you and ask your cooperation. I want everyone here to pray. Not just now, but for 40 days. Not for hours. Pick your own time. But I want everyone here to take 5 minutes, beginning when you have Monday or whatever. And we'll pray 5 minutes. We'll pledge to pray 5 minutes. You might not be able to get even two or three people together, but you can at least yourself. This is your own personal prayer list. That if you will take 5 minutes a day, you can pray for every country. And Afghanistan, that's where you start. Whew, that's a big one. That needs help. Afghanistan, Akrotira, Albania, Algeria, Somoza, Andorra, and Angola. That's one day. And pray something about it. If you want to get a world map or index or something, it's not too hard. Anyway, they're listed. So everyone take 5 minutes a day. Pray at least by name, Lord, for this place, so that something will happen. Know God's program, Revelation 5:9, and they gather around, and they sung a new song. And Jesus Christ is there. And they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and blessing, because Thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God out of every tongue, every tongue, every tribe, every people, every nation. This will happen. It will happen. Every single tongue, tribe, people, and nation will come to Christ. That's God's program. Don't worry about what TV says, what the news says. What's this? They're not running it. God's running it. Some, not many, but some, out of every tongue, every tribe, every people, every nation, every group. So at least take, two or three minutes a day, 5 minutes we're asking a day. And I'm going to ask you to pray for these 40 days, the next 40 days, your assignment, when you go back as a project, I think it's going to begin to change your life. I don't think you can spend 5 minutes, even just 5 minutes a day, and pray for every country and ask God, Lord, help something. Send somebody. Do something that every country in the world will be interceded for. Because the Lord says, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Pray ye, the Lord of the harvest. He will send forth laborers. Hudson Taylor prayed for two. Start with two. Somebody to go forth to be a witness. So we want to sort of begin that. And I've been debating whether with two people or three people. Let's have three. Get out of your seat and rearrange. And three people together, every group, three here. Switch around a bit. You can move the chairs a bit if you want to. But let's get together in groups of three. Three. Get out of, please. Everybody up, out of your seat, rearrange. Don't worry about the chairs. Move them. They get back okay. If they don't, it doesn't matter. Put in a circle. Three. You get two people, one might be embarrassed, but you only got three people. That's enough. Two or three. We've chosen three. If two or three will say anything in the name of God, God is there. You have an audience in heaven. You are a group. God hears you. And so we're going to ask you to get in groups of three. You don't have to take these in order. little while different. Somebody raise their hand, you're a leader. Somebody, whoever a leader. All right. Okay. What's your last name?
Jones.
Huh?
Jones.
Jay. All right. So you're going to look at Jay. You're going to look at Jay. Find your last name, the letter, and then look at your map here. And so pick and pray for at least approximately three. It can be two or four, depending on what your group is. And then let's pray that God will take the gospel to these people. Including your prayer, we're going to take a little bit of time together, not just pray for these countries. That's 5 minutes. We're going to take another 5 minutes. We're going to pray for about 10 minutes and pray that God will, from here, send forth some people or use what's here among us or what have you. Starting here, beginning here, and around the world. Pray for whatever groups you know. Pray for whatever's on your heart. And pray that God will use each of us to be more involved. His program, his mission, his program to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. All right? So begin. Let's pray. Lord, you told us to pray. Lord, we're praying. Lord, impress upon the idea of these people, the countries of the world, this is what you're really for, oh God. And Father, impress a specific target. I continue to pray, but as we pray, maybe the Lord will lead you to a specific target. If you pray in a group, maybe somebody's impressed with a particular place, our country, our city, or that. And so someone will lead in that, and everybody pray together. Pick some specific target or place that come to mind. Let's pray over that. As Jesus saw the harvest fields, he was moved with compassion. We continue to pray, Lord, lay on my heart a love for souls, a compassion for souls. Oh God, touch my heart, lay on my heart a burden for the field, for your program, for what it is. May I feel as you feel. Oh God, give me a spirit of compassion. Shall we pray that? And then as we move to the close of our prayer, God doesn't work through angels. He works through his disciples. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Lord, use me as a disciple of you. Your way, whatever it is, whatever it is, Lord, use me. What is my involvement? And let's pray that each one. You might not just pray as a group, but each one pray privately, if you will, one by one. God, what do you want me to do? Show me. Our God, I pray you shall continue to guide and direct us. I pray, Lord, for every man here. Help us, Lord. We're willing. We want to be involved in your program. Oh, God, show us. Show us each one. Lord, what are we to do? How can we help? How can we be in our program? Oh, Lord, use us. Use my life, Lord, in the work of World Vision and getting the world to Christ and whatever. Lord, use me and each one of us here. We pray to do this according to your will and your plan in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, you can sort of sit around. You don't have to move too far, but let's go ahead and move from there. Let me encourage you. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. I don't usually do this, but I want a show of hands. I want you to sort of make some kind of commitment, publicly and privately. So what I'm going to ask is, how many of you will endeavor by the grace of God to make a commitment? I will spend 5 minutes a day for the next 40 days. 5 minutes. Not too long, but do it every day. I'll spend 5 minutes a day praying for missions. This is my commitment. How many will do that? All right. God sees the hands. I'll close my eyes. It's your deal to God. It will change your heart. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes the world. And we'll begin that. So let's try to work this out in a whatever practical way we can, to see how can we each be involved more. Where's my eraser? Whatever. Anyway, I won't need this. So how can we begin? We begin with pray. This is a very old, old outline. Anybody can say this. We learn. Oh, thank you. This is all right. I got it now. Thanks for your contribution. Well, second is give. This is old as the hills. Nothing whatsoever original in this missionary outline. We pray and we give. Somebody can get this. So, not just to the church, to give to the church, but, give to something specific. Go ahead and give to the church, whatever the group, this and this. But give to some specific person, or at least a project, in the total things of missions or world missions. Something outside of your own culture. Missions is cross-cultural. God went to Abraham and said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy cottage. Three C's, country, kindred, cottage. Well, one's a K, never mind. Get thee out of your country, out of your kindred, out of your cottage, go cross-cultural somewhere, and I will bless. I will make of you a nation, your name shall be great, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. It will go to all the world. And so Abraham believed God. Start with action. And he went out, started on his journey, started on the way and long way. And there's ups and downs. And sometimes he's tested. But go. So it involves giving. It involves, should have had go first, upright. Pray, go. And give. You go somewhere because it must get an ethnic barrier. Must go cross-cultural because a promise is to every tribe, tongue, people, nation to penetrate every ethnic barrier. Someone that will, not by correspondence, not just by letters, not just by radio, but individuals to some other place and some place. You help me out here. Let's share a bit. How many are giving to a particular person in some other ethnic group outside of where you are? Okay, well, very quickly, share with who?
Colombia.
You're giving to Colombia.
Nigeria.
Okay. Someone out here? Here, yes?
Saudi Arabia.
Where?
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia. Oh, okay. A person?
Yeah.
A place? A project? To reach Saudi Arabia, is that it?
No, they're there.
Okay, someone else?
India.
Here?
Africa.
Africa? All right. Anyone?
Tanzania.
Where?
Tanzania.
Okay. Someone else?
Argentina.
Brazil?
India and the Philippines.
Okay. All right. Let me encourage every one of you to give something somewhere in all the places. You can't give everywhere all at once, but pick some particular place. And I suggest beyond that, if you pick some particular person, there's great mission projects, and church have mission projects. Continue to give to your church. But beyond that, some specific. Some have both. Some of you give to the church, and then inside of that, there are certain people and groups, and they ask you and urge you to pray for some particular person. How many are praying for a particular missionary by person, by name? Can I see your hands? Some are. Let me suggest the next place you go. Get involved, hopefully, with a particular place, and then a particular missionary. So on your worksheets and projects and what you have, if you can think about it and write in, if you have a particular place, write it in your notes here, or a particular thing, and pray and hope a particular missionary. In a sense, the navigators are missionaries if they go to a campus. And it's a special culture, special place, special thing, and meet to a certain people, their target. And I call it a missionary project. It's there's E1, E2, E3 extremes. One is someone within your own country, but a special group. That's a good place to start. Another is like the Filipinos will come to America and work with Filipinos. That's two. That's they're leaving their country but not their culture, or leave their culture but not their country. Then the third is you go to another place, another culture, physically, and move away to this. And this is what we call a cross-cultural missionary. And this is the main target. There are other missionaries and other groups, but I trust we'll try to move in this direction, and you'll help some particular person. Make that a project. Write it down. Think about it. Starting next week, get more involved with giving to a particular person and being involved in it. There is a... I attend the Urbana Conference, and their emphasis is the world has come to America. Okay, that's true in a way. So some people will be asked to leave America and go all places in the world. But there's another way, in that nearly every ethnic place, more or less, even within our colleges, nearly every ethnic group all around the world, they're in American colleges. Who's a figure? Anybody remember? Lynn, do you remember? The number of overseas students currently studying in American colleges? My idea is something like a little less than 500,000. I have 400,000, I think. Anybody for sure authority on this? But anyway, thousands, hundreds of thousands are nearby in America. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands are here. Let me share a missionary story. I was in Vietnam in 1975. I was sent a little later on. We had a work in Vietnam and we're helping the people. And I moved for a while, learned a little bit of the language. Vern Bache was a guy, missionary with the Navigators, in charge of Vietnam and all like that. And so the story goes that we lost the war. And we evacuated in retreat and in shame. That's the story. And thousands, the helicopters came in. They evacuated. And as the communist armies were coming in, we evacuated Saigon. And they went to other places. Say, okay, we lost the war. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. Not the war that really counts. Not the war over souls. Not the war of the gospel reaching to every ethnic place in the world. I was in Vietnam, and the figures were so low they couldn't put it on the wall. They said 2 out of 1,000 people are Christians. So low they didn't show up. Anywhere, all groups, everywhere, 2 out of 1,000 know about Jesus Christ. And the communists came in. We were so-called defeated. We weren't defeated politically. If you study history, it's like Gettysburg. The high point of the communist advance stopped in Vietnam. And no country after that went into communist territory. And then communists began to disintegrate. And then we took place after place and stronghold after stronghold. And whoop, the wall was broken down. All of these things. The crux of key was Vietnam. This so-called war that we lost. And no, not in God's sight. And so all of these thousands of Vietnamese came to America. You know what happened? The Vietnamese adjusted to America better than any other ethnic group that I ever heard of. Adjusted to the culture, the people. Most of them became farmers. They sell produce. They sold vegetables. They sold good vegetables. They were basically honest. You'd go there, and they made their place, and they moved about. And just last week, I was at a Navigator conference in Dallas, Texas, and a very talented lady waited on me and so forth like that. She was a hostess, 5-star hotel. She's Vietnamese. Been, you know, come from there, smooth hostess, all like that, showed us this and this. And you find them all over the place. They're just very, very beautifully, thousands of people. There are churches everywhere in America today with Vietnamese people. Just a fraction, so small you couldn't even find them before so-called we lost the war. Now you go back to Vietnam, and I go back to Vietnam. I was there last, October, and we saw thousands of motorbikes. What's this? Football? Sports? No. A local church. A local Protestant church. Packed to the wall from this end to the other. Not on some alleyway on the main street. Church after church after church. Every district in Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, today has a church. They had an original building and now they build a second building for so many people. If you want to attend church in Ho Chi Minh City, you must come at least 20 minutes early. You won't find a seat. They'll put you in the back or somewhere, loudspeaker. They'll let you attend it. It's the fastest growing church in the world, according to specifics. They've gone from so little, you can even count it. 2 out of 1,000, what, 0.2% people are Christians, and you count them all, 0.02. And today, they say that 13% Christians in Vietnam, everywhere they go, people coming by the thousands. Catholic, yes, but Protestants too. They estimate about 10% of these are Catholic. 3% are Christians. Many of the leaders were educated in Catholic or Christian schools, and the situation has changed completely around 13%, 10 times 100-fold. There's 100-fold more Christians in Vietnam this week than there was in 1975 when the helicopters came in and so-called evacuated the people out. And God does this in place after place after place after place. this is Vietnam. And one of the things, China and other places, God is doing a tremendous work. And we will go on. I have a friend here, Nicholas Young. Nicholas, I want you to come up and give us 2 or 3 minutes. Nicholas Young is from Communist China, from Guangzhou province. You sort of be coming up as I introduce you. Nicholas Young. Yeah, Nick, come. He is from China, and there was a navigator by the name of Tom Frakes. Whoops. Tom Frakes. And he went into China, I don't know, about 10 or 15 years ago now. Tom Frakes, come on the platform here. If you want to use my speaker, can you preach loud, be an evangelist? Yes, you tell us about Tom Frakes, who he is, what have you. Can you use mine? Can you, well, let's transfer over. See if you can use this. Go ahead. We'll get it back in a moment. Go ahead.
I came from China, in Canton, Guangzhou. Yeah, when I was in Guangzhou, and there's a missionary from America, and maybe it's Lloyd sent the missionary. Absolutely, it's God sent the missionary to what I live, the place I live. Yeah, I met him. Yeah, so he now share gospel with me, share the disciple making. Yeah, what's disciple making? Before that, I know Christianity. Yeah, I know Christianity, but I don't know what is disciple making, what disciples mean. So that missionary, Tom Frakes, yeah, he has did a good job in Guangzhou. Yeah, share gospel with many peoples. And at that time, he trained me and used the material, told me how about the disciple making. Yeah, so I came United States just for 3 weeks. I will go back next week.
When are you going back to China?
Next Thursday. Yeah, I will go back to China. We have two three house church, and we want planting another house church. Yeah, maybe we can use this disciple making. In our church, so it's.
Are you using that?
What?
Timothy principle.
It's a Second Timothy, chapter 2. Yeah, that's the principle. Or the principle we use the principle, course to share gospel with the stranger, who unbeliever. And use that is to train them as material for the newcomer. Yeah. So that is useful. So my wife and me, is trained by Tom Flakes. So my wife is serve at church and use that materials and help the others. Yeah. So it's great. It's a great job that I did there. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Timothy. Chinese name is Xiao Yong. Timothy, Nicholas just says Xiao Yong, Yang Xiao Yong. And he was, Tom Frakes called me by telephone and said, Roy, I want you to come out, but I have no support. I'm only about $200 a month. And so you wouldn't want me to come out right away. I should start and raise more support. But then he called me the next week. Forget about the support. I'm coming next week. And so I go, whoop, whoop, go get my pocket. So he arrived. And God began to bless him and guide him. And he, we used the bridge of salvation. We gave the bridge illustration, which, Lynn, can you come up and help me and erase this? And I'm going to quickly give you this because we use it all over China. One of the things where we're going to show you is how to share the gospel with anybody in Asia. And, we have this in almost every language. The Timothy Principle is in 5 Asian languages. The bridge is in most all of them. And so this is what Tom Frakes was taught to do, University of New Mexico, I think. And from there, he went to Canton, China, began to share the bridge. Where's the stuff? Can you find me some things here, which we share with everybody? He went to McDonald's, and one of our guys, one of our Christians, was worked at McDonald's. He's one of the sub-manager. He said, Tom, you take a night a week, say Thursday night. Thursday night, we will open a section of McDonald's. We'll get you some tables. And you can sit there as long as you want to and share Jesus Christ in McDonald's, McDonald's ministry, and began by sharing the bridge with all that come in. We used English too. Someone wanted to improve their English. So we had an American and a Chinese, or an English speaking and a Chinese together at one table. We work together. Each one of us can do some of the things the other can't do. They like the American presence and they want to practice their English. And, but they're sort of interested in the gospel. So we'd sit at a table and, we would say the bridge illustration, which we have. Here's a person. He came from China. Yaguyan or Igorin. See, he has this. He's unhappy. And then we told him, of course, very briefly, that all have sinned. Zui, Chinese word. All have sinned. They're going to die. And there'll be judgment. Shunpan. So everybody, sin, death, judgment, hell. Is that the gospel? The gospel is good news? Is that good news? All that sin, good news? Bad news. Die? Bad news. Judgment? Bad news. Hell? Bad news. It's preparation, but it's not the gospel. Sin, death, judgment, hell. Ah, there's no way. We're helpless, and we're hopeless. We're helpless, we're hopeless. We can't possibly be saved, but God. The gospel originated by God before the world began. The gospel will penetrate any culture, any people, any group of people, anything. Before God created the heaven and the earth, the gospel was in the heart and mind of God. And it's a gospel. Church comes later. Church is okay, but church, the gospel is a seed, not the church, the organization, the group. The gospel before the world began, when Adam and Eve sinned. Okay. So what? The promise came. the promise came through the woman, your seed. Through your seed will come Jesus Christ. The moment their sin, he got skins. He killed an animal and their nakedness was clothed. The gospel is in Genesis 3, clear, whole thing. And goes from that, from the beginning to the ending, the gospel. And any group in any nation can have it. We use this illustration because in Chinese, there's a what they call a guarantor. Chinese is baorin. Anything you do, you got to have a guarantor. If you get married, you have a matchmaker. If you get business, you have somebody who will guarantor and open it to you. And the unique thing as we present the bridge in the Chinese concept is that there had to be somebody to help us. Because sin, death, judgment, hell, we're helpless, we're hopeless. Got to be somebody to help us. And so God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to help us. And so God... Whoops, this is not... okay, God here. This is God. Well, anyway, oh God... God sent his son. The main thing to explain in giving the gospel to any non-Christian culture is who is Jesus Christ? Ah, you're a sinner, receive Christ. Huh? No, 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 no. That won't work. Doesn't have any meaning. Doesn't have any basis. Oh, in America it might work, but in an Asian contact, a foreign culture, that won't work. No, God had to put somebody who is both you and can represent you and take your place. So, Christology. Jesus is a son of God. Jesus became man. If he's not God, he cannot save us. If he's not man, he cannot represent us or identify with us. So this is the heart of what we say. We don't argue church. We don't argue religion. We don't argue creation. We don't argue all these things. Who is Jesus Christ? That is a unique thing about Christianity. God became man. This little baby and so forth is God. And he has all power. He's Jesus. He lived a perfect life. And a lot of other things people don't understand. He had to do something. First, in giving the gospel, what? Who is he? He's God. He's man. What did he do? He taught well. Fine. He did miracles. Fine. That doesn't help us. He healed the sick, that's fine. That doesn't forgive our sins. All of these things. What must do? Jesus had to die in our place. You can explain it in any culture, any place, any religion, any group. You can get the fundamental concept. God loved us so much. He sent his son to be a man. He's both God, he's both man. He did everything that was necessary. And then he died in our place on the cross, which is the heart of the gospel. Who is he? What did he do? He died on the cross for my sins. 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus, the Son of God. And he died, buried, rose again. And that is the heart. And because he did this, he conquered death. He can conquer death for you. And if you believe, you got to do something. Salvation's there, but you got to do something. John 5:24 we use. He that hears and believes. Span of the bridge. If you hear and believe, you can walk across from death unto life. So Tom Frakes, Thursday night, an average of, about 20 students would come. And they'd each get a table. Of course, we had to buy a Coke and a hamburger as part of the thing. And we'd sit down at the table. As long as we want to. Thursday night, not a busy night. The largest McDonald's in all of China, 500 people it can seat. And so we just take a little corner and about 20, 30 people in a corner. We buy our hamburgers. We buy our drinks. And we sit down and draw this bridge. And explain the gospel. Some the first time, they never heard it. They have some background. Everybody has some background. You wouldn't be there. You wouldn't, the communists teach don't go to church. Everybody knows there's a church. Never met a Chinese who doesn't know there's a church. Qidu Zhao, they know a church. They have the wrong idea. Everybody knows Jesus Christ. Every single Chinese, a billion of them. Yesu Jidu, they know the name. They don't know what about him. Every American knows Jesus Christ. They curse him. They don't know him as Savior. So it's, you start with something, much more is known than you would think. And so you bridge the gap, and they would sit down, and then with at McDonald's, and these people come and would ask three questions. First, do you understand it? And sometime we'd talk an hour, sometime an hour and a half. Will you understand it? Second question, are you willing to believe? Will you cross the bridge? Which side are you on? Most of them say, oh, I'm here. How do you get here? Believe. Are you willing? And then pray. And so every night, approximately average, three or four students would come in. Well, you got to listen. Some would leave, some would get angry, but some would stay. Average three or four people a night that would pray, ask Jesus to come into their hearts. They disciple them. I have my 8-lesson Timothy training course for follow-up. It's in both English and Chinese. And then the next week they would go, he already received Christ, so go to another table. 8 tables. This table's on the first lesson, this table on the second lesson, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. And we had several hundreds of people not only receive Christ, go all the way through the course, and most of them become active church members. The gospel from scratch can be explained, can hear it, share it with Jesus Christ. It works. It works, yes.
This fits into Oriental thinking because you have to have a third person for any business transaction or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a third person.
Right. Right. And so it's the basic Chinese concept. And anyone, Chinese for 2,000 years, they're searching for God. Basically in Chinese culture, I went to one of the top schools in all America, University of Minnesota, with visiting lecturers that would come who are experts in China and tell us about the Chinese culture. They say always in the Chinese culture, there's been the presence of God. Presence of God. Tiantong, heaven is a house of God. And there's a mandate from God. And when the people get too bad, God takes away the mandate. In all Chinese literature, the good are rewarded, the evil are punished. It's basic to the concept. Also, you know, heaven for those who believe in all, hell for those who don't. And then you have to have a intercessor. This is Jesus Christ. He's our Baorin. He's the one that helps us and guides us and leads us. So Tom had, several hundred or people more and all over the place receive Christ. And we do this kind of thing all over China. So that's what he was thrown out. Too many people were converted. So police came one day and no reason. We know the reason. Hundreds of people came to Christ. But at least do something. Okay. He's not there, but Nicholas Young is there. William is there. And Xiaoliu is there. And dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of Chinese disciples are there. Okay. We can get along without the missionary if he lays a foundation. But it works. And the gospel works. I want to close with three things here. Oh, then you get your thing. Let me tell you, some people say, oh, I've applied to missions and they won't let me go. Let me make a statement here. Every single person here in the KMI is invited by me to come to any place we're working. I'll mention three places. Come to Vietnam. Come to China. Or come to India. We work in India. Shoestring budget. Oh, $300 or $400. Just keep yourself. No big deal. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about insurance. Just trust God for that, for the time, and go back and get your insurance later. God will protect you. You're young or whatever. Or I'm still there. But trust God. Come over like Tom Frakes. I don't have money. Come over anyway. We'll find a way to support you. Somebody. Show up 6 months to a year. Any of you. Anybody's invited. You are, I get credit cards. You are pre-approved. Everyone in KMI is pre-approved. You know not, but yes.
I have a question about, in India, how do you do with Muslims? I did some, Saudi Arabia for a while. It was very difficult. I found it very difficult.
Let me dodge the difficulties. Excuse me, but I'll get it private later. Just to say, there is an opportunity. Indians are coming to Christ. I have an Indian team. 3 times a week, they go out and preach the gospel in a village and speak to people that no one really has heard before. I've been a part of the team. We beat the drums. We invite them to come to Christ. And again, 4 or 5 people per night who know Jesus will pray and receive Christ. Any country. There's a harvest. It's open. Yes, sir. Projects. And anybody that wants to come, you're invited. You're invited to come to Hong Kong. Mark, your daughter, invited to come to Hong Kong. I have a house in Hong Kong that's open all the time. Anybody from the Navigators, anybody from KMI can come and live in my house in Hong Kong. Hong Kong's expensive, but it's free. Just come, courtesy. We have a house. We have a 3-bedroom, and one is always open anytime you come. Even your children or whatever, we can find a place for them. You come, show up, and we have places to stay in these countries. We have national workers. We have national staff. We have national team. We witness together for Jesus Christ. You have an invitation. Some go for trips. How many have been on a church or somebody for 10 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, something like that. Okay. You get a group of 5 or 10 people and you're invited. We're bringing July 21. We're bringing 10 people from a church in South Houston going to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam for 2 weeks. And open, ready. There's opportunities everywhere. We're willing to go. People are begging for recruits, missionary. God is, and God will help you and provide you in whatever way you will. But get involved. Give, pray, give, go. Link up with something. And there's all kinds of things. I have people, I have contacts everywhere. Roy Sherwood, he has people. Here, there, we have contacts, our Navigator friends, everywhere. They're begging for people. Brazil, Argentina. And he has 3, 4, 5 recruits and other people. They're working in Argentina, doing disciple, wherever, around the world. There's a group called EdgeCore. And my granddaughter went out with EdgeCore, which is a Navigator's group that you go out for a period of time and work. There are opportunities. There are places. Or just go for a time. Tie in. The most free person in all the world to preach the gospel in China is a tourist. Tourists can do things that nobody else can do. They're no threat. They're going back. They're aware with them. They're coming here. What if they do this? You say something wrong. Oh, you're a tourist. Doesn't matter. You can say anything. You can do anything. Everything is legal as long as it's not illegal. And go ahead and do it. Just pray. Join it with somebody. And be cross-cultural. Even here in the States, be some involved. So if you write down on your papers, you get your papers, and you have some kind of evaluation in the back. Your book. Would take about 3 or 4 minutes and write the evaluation or whatever and tell me what I should do next time. Yes. Yes.
I didn't get the third one.
The first question is, do you understand? The second question, worded very, very carefully, are you willing to believe? Exact words. Translated, are you willing to believe? What am I saying? You are on the left side of the bridge. Are you willing to believe and cross over? Now, if they say, oh, I've already believed, particularly America, I say, okay, when and where? If they can't tell me when they believe, they can't tell me where they believed, whoops, you're on dangerous ground. Let's get it later, please. Okay. You're on dangerous ground. And, sometimes I call assurance of salvation. I don't care with first or second time or whatever. Know you're saved. And so, walk across, know you're saved, confirm the decision, start memorizing scripture, start meeting with God, start doing discipleship and reproducing. One last word to all senior citizens. The older you are, the more you're honored in Asia. It's not a youth movement. Youth is suspicious. Youth is looked down upon. Youth does not count. It's the old people. They run Korea. They run China. They run all the countries of Asia. So you go on over. They'll receive you. They'll respect you. And make your contribution. Thank you.